Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning, whenever you're joining us. Thank you for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors, the Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Zama.
Zama. I believe we've done that one before. Because when were we talking about Zima or something?
Yes, you're right. Okay, hold on.
Abort.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the same county. We're going to Tala County.
Yep.
All right. I know we've done Possum Neck.
We haven't done Ethel.
I'm pretty sure we've done Ethel. I think we've done.
I don't think so.
Let's go with Hesterville. It'd be weird if it was in Hesterville.
That'd be really weird.
There you go.
I got some family that's Hester's from really? Webster County.
I'm going to try to have a Hester on the show this week. We'll see how that turns out for us. All right. I'll do the rest of the
one of those scoundrels from LSU.
Yes, yes. I got it's a two-part process, by the way. I text T-Bob, I text Jacob Hester, and then I text Rivers Huey to let her know that I texted those two guys so that they'll answer me.
Are you getting both of them?
I'm going to try to get like one for one thing and one for the other, like one for the live show and one for here.
There you go.
So
equal opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. I've got this LSU week, man. We're in SEC play. It's time to start ramping up the content, so we'll have a lot this week. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. It's so great to see you guys in your State Script polos, your M/S polos, and now a lot of the interlocking MSU polos are showing up. Hopefully you're getting that stuff from College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. And, of course, you can always go look online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever it is, maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, drove past there a couple of times this weekend, and there were people outside every time waiting to get in because they know that's where the best meal in town is. And so if you're going to be back here this weekend, I mean, great chance to have dinner Friday night or Saturday night. Dinner is going to be wide open there after an 11 a.m. kickoff, and then Sunday brunch, you want to make it to that as well. So if you want the best meal in town, lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, it's all in one place. It's all at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi ready to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the one nearest you. And it's real simple, guys. Doing business in your community is always a smart move. You want to talk to people you know, people you go to church with, people you see at schools, you see at the high school football games, these are the people you want to do business with. You eat at their restaurants, you shop at their stores, you should bank with them as well. If you live in Central Mississippi, there is a Priority One Bank near you. So give them a call, set up an account that's going to pay off big dividends for you in the future. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State 31, Arizona 24 in overtime. A victory for the Bulldogs like we predicted, but nothing like what we predicted. Nothing like what anybody coming into that stadium probably thought was going to happen Saturday night. So what did happen? Where did it go wrong? How did it get right for the Bulldogs? I have the man to ask. Tell him, Falk.
Well, this wasn't a loss, but
I'm going to tell you right now. I always love one of the bright spots of a loss or a poor performance is I know I'm going to get that kind of. It makes me laugh every time. Go ahead.
I feel like that one that perfectly states what this game was.
Mm-hmm.
The well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of it's good that you won, but it's still kind of like a like the
Right.
The you know, the GIF of Larry David where he's like,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. So that's how I felt whenever I left the stadium on Saturday night. I just didn't really know how to feel, had mixed emotions on the game. I thought it was good that Mississippi State was able to find a way to win that game, but I felt the exact same way leaving that game as I did leaving the Auburn game last year. Mm-hmm. Exact same feeling. That was an overtime win against Auburn, and it's an overtime win against Arizona. Now, State followed up that Auburn win by winning two out of the last three games of the season. So it's not, you know, a perfect indicator of what this team's going to be moving forward, but it was just a game that was just meh for me. I thought that Mississippi State had all the pieces in place to win this game by three touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
maybe even more. They came in first quarter, dominated the offensive and defensive lines. They dominated up front. They were picking up 8 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. They were constantly in the backfield. They made it very difficult for Jaden Delora to get anything done. And I thought they just kind of coasted from there. I didn't think it ever felt like Mississippi State just put their foot on the gas and came out there and just said, we're going to kill you on live television in front of everyone, just like the Gladiators did, and we're going to run away with this game. And they never did. They never were able to take control of the ball game. So I think that's the game plan that we saw and the inability to adjust was concerning to me. The only thing that I can really take away that is positive, other than the fact that they won the ball game, is we have seen Mississippi State's offense in the first two games look explosive at times, have some kind of ingenuity to it, it's some excitement to it, changing it up, things like that. Saturday just wasn't it. Now, if they come out on Saturday and play LSU the way that they did on against Arizona, they're going to get blown off the field.
Right.
They cannot have a ball game like that. But I thought it was very disappointing to see the play calling, the usage of the playmakers in the game. Didn't see Xavion Thomas almost at all on offense. Didn't see Creed Whittemore. It was, you know, the same old thing over and over, running the football, and they had success running it. That's what's so strange about this game. They dominated on the ground with Jaquavius Marks, another 100-plus yard game. I thought, you know, the backups had some nice runs. Tula Griffin might have been his best game receiving. I think Will Rogers completed like 78% of his passes. I mean, if you just looked at it from, you know, that standpoint, it looks like it's a great game. But then when you step back and see how the game played out, it was really kind of disappointing to see the lack of adjustments offensively, kind of trying to put the defense on its heels. It was just the same stuff over and over. And I think that that's a problem in the SEC. If you do that in the SEC, you're going to get beat. Defensively, I thought secondary and the coverage was terrible, quite frankly. I didn't think they were ever in position to make plays. We saw a great game from the linebackers. Sean Preston, I thought, had a really good game. Defensive line at times wasn't getting push. I mean, it was just overall just a blah, meh game for Mississippi State. And it's one of those you celebrate because you win, but you got to turn around now and completely forget about this game and have a totally different game plan, because if you do that on Saturday, it's going to be a bad day for Mississippi State. They've got to have a totally different game against LSU.
Yeah, there's no getting around that fact. I mean, there just isn't. If State plays that game, the same game they played Saturday against LSU, they're going to lose by three touchdowns plus. It'll be an embarrassment. So they've got a lot to get fixed. And they got a lot, you know, a week after, I thought they were really, really solid, and I was just like, okay, we'll see. That's about what I thought it was going to look like. They completely reverted, and we'll talk about some of that obviously coming up. But it just a strange game. And if you're one of those people who likes to buy into the idea that they were vanilla to not show LSU, and somebody tweeted me a lot because I asked about Mike Wright. I said, you know, I can't believe he hasn't carried the ball yet. And somebody says, well, they just don't want to be on film for LSU. I'm just like, do you think LSU only gets 1 week of film? They can look at last week, you know. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's just,
well, not to mention, this isn't the game that you do that.
Right. Or you might
why would you do that? Why would you not do that against Southeastern Louisiana, right, but do it against Arizona? Because they were much more creative against Southeastern Louisiana.
Even if you come into that game thinking, okay, maybe we can just dominate the line of scrimmage here and you know, do as little as possible to win. Once it became obvious that wasn't the case, you've got to change what you're doing. You got to make those adjustments. So that's something to talk about. We'll talk about it right now. As soon as we talk about, you know, some of our sponsors, I want to thank our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. We were talking about Mississippi State's offensive line. I mean, they've been pushing people around these past first couple games running the football. It's because they eat beef. So if you want to be big and strong like Dollar Bill Johnson, you need to eat beef. Burgers, steaks, brisket. The man eats all he can get his hands on, as far as I know. I don't know if that's true. I better not say anything about him. He might come at me for a dollar. He might charge me for NIL. I might need to.
He's going to toss you like they do the hay toss every summer.
Buddy, I weigh a lot more than that hay bale. I'll tell you that. That's, he ain't,
hey,
anybody tossing me. I'm not a dwarf.
Do you remember whenever we were, I think it was the rumblings, and somebody had mentioned like doing wrestling moves on your friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And I told you about my friend Kyle Dickerson that did the torture rack.
Yeah.
So apparently this is like running joke at the hospital that he works at with all of his friends. They listen to the show and they just think it's hilarious that he torture act everybody on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him yesterday. He has told me he wants to come to the studio and give you a torture act. He said he's been working out. He feels like he can lift you up. And I told him you're starting to get slim and trim. He might could actually do it.
There's no way he could possibly do it.
He might, man.
Not physically.
He might possibly. Can. He is very confident in this.
If I get injured, he's paying my medical bills.
Off my back.
No, I'm just saying if he drops me on my head.
Do have some good counsel in John Sokolov.
Yeah, yeah. My attorney at law, yeah. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. Again, another restaurant that was busy all weekend. Great to see you guys supporting our sponsors. And you'll need to be back this weekend. After the game, Two Brothers will be buzzing. It'll be a great place to watch the evening games. Grab a great meal. And if you're staying out late, you're hanging out in the Cotton District, it's a great place to hang out there as well. It's smoked Southern soul food right in the middle of the best part of Starkville. It's Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Everybody talks about it. They be about it at Advantage Business Systems. And they have been for 48 years. That's a long time to do anything. But keeping a business open that long, that's something you know for a fact. Customer service is their watchword. So when you need service, I'm sorry, when you need technology for your business, you need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, information systems, mailing systems, whatever it is, you call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need service, you call them back and you talk to the same people who made you the sale. They're Mississippi people. They take care of you like a neighbor. It's 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The Collegiate Collection at the Rogue, as I said earlier on the show, it's so great to see everybody with new polos. Everybody is getting away from the Banner M, and the Rogue is a big part of that. Great, stylish polos, the logos that you want, and, of course, the legendary customer service of one of the South's top men's clothing stores. It's all right there in their Collegiate Collection. And, you know, it felt good this weekend. It means it's time to start thinking about maybe buying a new quarter zip, a new pullover. They got those for you at The Rogue as well. Shop online at therogue.com. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. Robbie Falk, it is time once again for our weekly tradition.
By the way, before you get into this real quick, did you see the Mel Tucker stuff? He's apparently been suspended or maybe fired.
You are smart enough to know that we're going to talk about that at the end of this. You know that that's coming.
Which, by the way, you've already thrown out the sponsor for the most important part of the show. I know.
That's two times.
We got to get back on track.
I'm shaky. You know, I'm so used to my routine. And yeah, I got to get back to it. These are the things that are true. Mississippi State versus Arizona. I got 10 things that are true, Robbie. And the good news about them is they're all, one is just as true as the other. They're all true. Here we go. Number one, Robbie, State has a game like this every football season. Mm-hmm. Every football season, State has a game where they play poorly. They play, I mean, when I say poorly, I mean poorly, but they still win. They still win. Last year, it was the Auburn game. The year before that, it was Louisiana Tech. The year before that, it was Vanderbilt. The year before that, it was, I had it, oh, where did it go? Oh, where did you go? It was the Egg Bowl. It was the Egg Bowl in 2019. 2018 is like the one year where not really, right? They either blew you out or they lost. And they won by double digits or they just didn't win at all. But 2017, you have
Georgia.
No, Georgia, they lost. They lost 31-3.
I thought you meant just like a terrible offensive.
No, I'm talking about a game where they play poorly, but they win. It was Arkansas in 2017. In 2016, it was South Carolina. They played poorly the whole game, but they got the way. Same, and UMass. UMass was also one of that. That was just a team that played poorly that year.
16, I thought they blew out South Carolina.
They won by 13, but that game was not fun, as I recall.
Yeah, but Nick Fitzgerald, I think, had a good game.
Yeah, it was his first real full game as a starter. I continue, though, my friend. 2015, it's just every game. Auburn, they didn't play great in that game against Auburn. 2014, Arkansas, they played terribly in that game, but they got the win at the end. 2013, Bowling Green. 2012, Troy. 2011, Louisiana Tech. 2010, out UAB, and so on and so on. 2009, maybe there's not one. Vanderbilt, they won 15-3. Every year.
Yeah, that was not a good game. It was like all field goals.
Yeah. Every year, there's a game like this for Mississippi State. They play poorly. They win. You hope you've got it out of your system. The only thing that worries you is that this was, you know, this wasn't an SEC game. And, you know, because everything is so new, like all of those games I mentioned, for the most part, you're like, okay, you kind of know what you have. This is one where you don't really know what you have. That's why I think the real frustration is there. So that's, but yeah. That being said, let's not act like this was the first time we've ever seen State play like crap, but still win. See it ever.
What's funny is that's one thing that I was thinking about last night. There was a thread on our board about going ahead and hiring Dan Mullen as the coach.
Yeah.
Brian, how many times did we leave a football game and those same threads that we saw on the board last night were made about Dan Mullen?
Well, I mean, just
off – Joe Moorhead and Mike Leach.
I just listed eight games.
Yeah.
Or just like what I just described. So, yeah.
And that's just the wins.
Yeah.
About the losses.
Yeah.
So. I just want to have one game where everybody's on the same page that, you know what, that wasn't a good game. That was a bad game plan, terrible play calling. Mm-hmm. Can we just have one day where it's just, let's call it what it is and not say Zach Arnett's got to be fired. We have to get rid of Kevin Barbey immediately.
We will not do that.
I just don't understand, Brian. No. I want a bigger sample size before I start saying people need to be fired. I'm never understood that running straight to a website and saying – everybody needs to be evacuated out of the state immediately.
Makes you feel better. That's all it is.
Well, I say that, and then today, as I watched the Pittsburgh Steelers, I wished nothing but, you know, stomach viruses and everything on Matt Canada. So I can't, you know, at the end of the day, maybe I'm one of those people.
There you go. Number two.
By the way, Darius Slay having an incredible game right now.
You get another pick?
Almost. Broke up a pass.
Right. Number two is kind of a question, but it's not even kind of a question. It is a question, but it's true. Why can't Mississippi State just ever have an exciting offense? Why can't State be the team that when they play poorly, it's because they won 48-45 or they lost 48-45? Why is it always a grind every single time out? This is going back. When's the last time State was, like, exciting offensively? 2014?
Yeah.
I mean, it's painful. It's every year, it's just like, it's just a grind.
It's just like it's not in their culture.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is like, you know, people wonder why does Ole Miss get so much publicity? Their games are exciting for the most part. Like when they lose, they at least put points on the board and it's back and forth a little bit. They don't lose and it's just painful. Like the Kentucky game last year is painful to watch that game. The Alabama game, I mean, if State doesn't score on the last play of the game, that's 3 years without scoring a touchdown in Alabama. I mean, you had a moment in the Georgia game with Xavion Thomas, but, you know, the LSU game was boring last year. State plays boring football.
Well, you know, I thought last week the offense looked pretty sharp. To me, I don't think it's a situation where the scheme is bad. I don't think that they have the players in the offense to do some big things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought yesterday was totally on play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the play calling and the game plan was terrible. And I think that's, to me, that's what held them back, at least yesterday, is the fact that I think early on in the game, they had that success running the football, and Kevin Barbet said, we can run for 500 yards on this team, and just wanted to keep doing it and never got away from it.
It's just crazy to me that year in, year out, and this is an entertainment product. Right? At the end of the day, it's about entertainment. You're supposed to go to the game and enjoy it. And State plays just unenjoyable football. And I'm not saying it's just Barbet. Leach's games were unenjoyable at times. But for a lot of the times, Moorhead certainly were. Mullen at times. Just like, what are they doing out there? Meanwhile, even in defeat, your conference rivals are just going up and down the field. And it's just tough. It's tough.
I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait and see the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm not saying, you know, he's got to change and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, this is boring.
Yesterday was boring.
Yeah.
Yesterday was boring. I need a larger sample size to see what this offense is.
I'm going to come back to this topic in just a minute, too. Number three. Some of y'all just, you know, if you don't want to blame one guy, you're blaming Will Rogers. I think some of y'all think Will Rogers is the reason, like, you have a leak in your faucet or your car won't start. Like, oh, damn Will Rogers. Last night is not in any way on Will Rogers. If you're going to try to give me the idea that Barbet doesn't have faith in Will Rogers, again, that is not on Will Rogers. That's on Barbet. Either fix the offense to work with what you've got or pull him. But do one or the other. Don't just keep putting him out there and saying, well, I don't really trust him, but we got to do this. No, you don't. You're the offensive coordinator. Make a change. So Rogers completed, as you said, I think 76% of his passes. He hit, of his 13 completions, three were for touchdowns. And, two were screens. He didn't go hand them the ball. He had to get the ball into their hands. It's great that his receivers made plays. That's what they're supposed to do.
That was the design play.
Yes. The play was everything worked. That's what you want out of your offense. So, I mean, he could have had a fourth touchdown if Justin Robinson, you know, can beat one man.
Yeah. So, and then they had I think it was a run they scored on when was it a run they scored on when Cole Smith held?
Yeah.
I think it was a run.
Yeah, Mark ran that in. Yeah, but still.
You know, I mean, and yes, there's obviously, we've said this from the start, there's obviously a cap on what Will Rogers can do from getting the ball down the field. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to sling it 80 yards down the field or even 40 yards that very often. That's just not his talent. That's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a whole lot of design plays for him to do any of that.
Right.
I just feel like every time it's got to be Will Rogers can't run this offense. Will Rogers can't do this and that. I don't know what he could have done differently yesterday. He even seemed frustrated by what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I put every bit of the offense yesterday on the play calling and on the 100%. Offensive staff. I mean, at the end of the day, at some point, you've got to say, you know, this is there's a guy that's running an offense. There's a guy that's calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is an issue for Will Rogers. We've always talked about, you know, working around the strengths of your team, and I felt like, you know, Kevin Barbet did that in the first game. I didn't think he did that yesterday.
No, I don't either.
We didn't see a whole lot of things, but Will Rogers,
that's the next one. That's the next
but
one.
Just let me finish.
Yeah.
Will Rogers, to me, was not a problem yesterday. There was a couple of plays where he held the ball too long.
Yeah.
Might have missed a receiver or two. But to me, Will Rogers played a fine enough ball game for Mississippi State to be much more successful offensively. I'm not going
to blame perfection from Will Rogers for some reason. They expect him to be 25 for 25 for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns every game. And if he's that,
somebody else is going to get the credit for it.
Right. Well, great game plan. Had guys, receivers did a great job. Yeah, exactly. It's weird. Number four, coaches do things every week in every football game. It's not a Mississippi State thing that I just don't understand. And this week for me, I'm going to leave Creed Whittemore out because I think he got, you mentioned he got banged up, I think, in the first half.
I don't know.
Yeah. He may have still been on the field. I don't know.
He had his helmet off a couple of times.
Let's just move on. But with Mike Wright, I don't understand how you show him off against Southeast Louisiana. He has nearly 100 yards rushing. And then in a game where you're running the football effectively, he doesn't carry the ball until the fourth quarter. You brought him in for plays to hand off. Now, if those are zone reads, okay, I guess. But then you've got to, at that point, you have to, again, you're the coach, you're the offensive coordinator, you're the play caller. You got to design something that gets him the ball where he can run. You've got to do that. And it drives me insane that, you know, you see him against an FCS school, and it's okay, this guy is obviously going to be a big piece of the offense. And the next week, he could have just not played, and it would literally not have made a difference in the game.
Yeah. And again, this is the crew that was calling from Dan Mullen. We saw some of this stuff from Dan Mullen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Something would work against somebody, and the next week he wouldn't do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw. Well, and listen,
I say it all the time on the show, right, Robbie? Coaches get away from things that work faster than anybody else.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. I really don't, because this guy averaged, 13 yards of rush last week,
mm-hmm.
and was a shoestring away from, you know, two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was trying to make sense of it, and I thought, you know, maybe he's banged up and they're just trying to use him just for a decoy or something. And then he kept the ball one time and lost like 2 yards. So it just – I guess they just weren't utilizing him correctly, or he didn't want to run. I don't know. But it was a, you know, total fumble there for Mississippi State not doing more with Mike Wright, and you've got to do something with him.
Yeah.
He's got to be part of your game plan every single week. And it doesn't have to be a deal where you've got a quarterback controversy. These two quarterbacks can coexist. It needs to be planned out in some situations, and then other situations, you know, do it on your gut. But he needs to have more plays, and he needs to have, like, drives. He needs to have chunks of plays. He needs to have 4 or 5 plays in a row. The whole bring him in one play and then bring him back out, I don't think that does much for your offense from a standpoint of having some kind of control on the style of play that you have or whatever. I think that just kind of puts you behind the eight ball when you're changing guys out like that. So you got to utilize them a lot better, and they failed on that on Saturday.
Yeah. All right, we are on number 5. I think the offense being so bad, like, is tainting my view of the defensive performance. Because I woke up this morning and I had a text from Michael Borky, and he was like, State that bad offensively, and are they that good defensively? And I was just like, I don't think they were that good defensively. And it made me think, right? And I'm just like, well, State's offense couldn't stay on the field. The defense forced 5 turnovers. They did enough to win this game handily. Am I right? Was the defense not as bad as I'm thinking it was? I mean, I know they gave up some points, and they only gave up 24 points.
We've seen this kind of defense from Mississippi State before, like, you know, kind of not, I don't know if it's bend but don't break, but maybe like a little boom or bust, I guess. Where, you know, they can make some big plays, but they can also give up some big plays.
Yeah.
So Maybe it's a little bit of that. I mean, when you turn a team over five times, you've done your job defensively. Yeah. It's hard to say that the defense had a terrible night when you forced five turnovers. And then I thought the last possession of regulation was huge for Mississippi State, too, to hold them to a field goal right there because they had all the momentum. They had a big play. They were marching down the field. Defense got a big stop right there. So when you needed the defense to come up with big plays, they made them. Now, there's a ton of things they have to fix. But to me, it's little stuff that's leading the big stuff. It's guys being out of position. It's guys not finishing tackles. It's stuff that we know that these players can do, so they just have to do it. I didn't think DeCameron Richardson was particularly good
that's
in the game.
That was not great, yeah.
He struggled. I thought Sean Preston was good. He was kind of a spark for you a little bit. And then, the two linebackers, Jett and Buki, were great. But defensive line, they're, could have had more push up there. They didn't play great. Yeah. The defense was not great. But you got five turnovers, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah. All right, number six. 39 rushes, 17 pass attempts. A lot of people are freaking out about that. What I'm going to say here is the ratio of runs to passes doesn't concern me. It's the ratio of runs to passes when you're not dominating one side of the ball. Mm-hmm. If State's averaging 8, 9, if they're just getting 8, 9, 10 yards every time they run the ball, if they're on pace to get 400 yards rushing, yeah, run the ball every play. I don't have a problem with that. Same thing on the other side. If Rodgers is just finding guys and there's just gaps in the secondary, throw the ball every play. I don't care. Yards are yards. But I do have a problem when they slow down the running game and you're not going to try to take the top off of anything. I mean, you run the ball that much to set up play action passes so you can throw deep. We were told there was going to be the deep throws in this offense. Where are they? I said something to you in the game last night. I said, at some point, you have to call, maybe I'm just an NCAA football guy, but you got to call four verts and you got to tell Will Rogers, throw the ball in the end zone. I think it's right when State had taken over or they had the ball into.
They got a turnover.
They got a turnover and they had the ball at like the 35 yard line or something. I'm just like, just tell Will Rogers, we're going to send everybody on the fly, throw it in the end zone, find the guy who's the most open and just let him make a play. You got to do that at some point. You just got to say, "F it," for lack of a better word, as Zach Arnett might say, "Never mind." You got to do that, and it just bothers me that coaches do this. That they're not having the kind of success that you should have if you're going to keep going to the well, but they won't go away from the well either.
It's like you said earlier, like for whatever reason, Mississippi State's offense just gets in this like mundane state. Like there's a lot of like boring about it over the years. And it's really frustrating because you see these coaches that come here that have had some exciting offenses, like Joe Moorhead, for instance. His offense at Penn State looked a whole lot different than it did when he came to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Those explosive plays, we always talk about explosive plays, they're going to go up, they never did.
Right.
So I don't know what the issue is, and I don't know if it's just going to take, we're not going to blame Will Rogers, but is it going to take a guy with a different skill set? I don't know. Does Kevin Barbet just not trust that he can make that play? Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I've always been one of those guys, when you get a big play, go take a shot. See if you can capitalize on that right away. And State just never does it. They come out and – on that possession you're talking about, I think they ran the ball immediately and got like 3 yards. Yeah. And it's just that they wasted so many opportunities to really blow that game open, mm-hmm. and do something big. And that's what's kind of frustrating about it. And you hope and pray that that's not going to be the normalcy for this offense.
All right. Number eight. Is that right? No, number seven. I'm sorry. That was the ninth best team Mississippi State will play this year. They are not as good as any SEC team Mississippi State will play, I don't think. I think everybody else in the conference that State plays could beat them. Kentucky could beat them. Ole Miss could beat them. A&M could beat them. Arkansas could beat them. Auburn is iffy. Auburn is iffy. That's the iffiest one.
So, I think they're better than. I think they're better than Cal.
I agree with that. I think Arizona is better than Cal.
So could they beat Auburn is the big question.
Very iffy, but I mean it's not much. So,
and I will say this: they're improved from last year. I think they can improve their win total to 6-7 wins.
They can get to a bowl.
Yeah,
that is in my opinion the ninth best team State's going to play this year. Number eight. Good news. The SEC is not very good. And I don't know if you're a person that would ever feel sympathy for Ole Miss, but if you are, well, they really got it this year because there's really one great team in the conference, and it's Georgia, and they have to play them. So that's bad news for them. Everybody else in the West, other than Auburn, who plays them every year, got lucky on that one. But Alabama, look, Alabama's still a really, really good football team. They lost to a good team Saturday night, but they're still good. LSU is a good football team. A&M is a talented football team. I saw an incredible tweet today, Robbie. I got to tell you about this. I don't know. Forgive me. I know I'm going to just butcher this poor guy's name. I think it's Shaha Jurayaja, who was CBS Sports. And he said, it's just like a conspiracy theory. He said, one of the reasons that Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama are all down is because you've got 10 or 15 of the top defensive linemen in the country toiling in obscurity at Texas A&M. I mean, how much, if those guys aren't at A&M, if they're at Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson like they should be, how much better are those teams?
So it's really crazy, by the way, how just mid A&M is.
I mean, that mid is the right word. But that means that you watch State last night and you're like, oh, God, they played terribly. Arkansas didn't play great yesterday. Auburn played poorly yesterday. A&M lost. Ole Miss was sweating it until the final minutes against Tulane. Everybody, you know, even Alabama, and when I say everybody's beatable, I mean by Mississippi State. Yeah. State could beat LSU this weekend, and it would be a surprise, but it's doable.
I'm very interested.
Year in the conference.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how State rebounds.
Yeah. In the East, it's the same thing. Like, Tennessee has not looked incredible. Georgia is obviously very good, but they've played. The thing with Georgia is they played nobodies. They're not going to be tested at any point. They could get to the SEC championship game and not have played, had a real test at any point. Maybe Tennessee, but I don't know what I make of Tennessee just yet. So we'll see.
I don't know what to make of just about anybody. Georgia, I think, is going to be the unquestioned, king.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is just, I mean, Alabama should beat most everyone on their schedule, but Tennessee being at Bama is going to be that's going to change my opinion on that game. I think they win that one, but LSU can beat Bama. I don't know if there's more parity or everybody else is getting better.
I think Alabama,
the SEC's getting worse.
Alabama is still good, but they're coming down a little bit.
Yeah.
LSU has gotten better. A&M has so much talent. They just,
coaching is just getting in the way there.
Ole Miss schemes themselves to victories. Kiffin's offensive game plans gives them a chance because they can score points in almost every game. Arkansas, I don't have very high hopes for. They have not been dominant. And they're playing without Rocket Sanders right now, so that's a problem. And then Auburn, I had Auburn last in the West for a reason. You can tell. So
yeah, their game last night was
tough watch. Really tough.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think we're all focused on, Mississippi State. We just keep up with Mississippi State. But you look at some of these other teams.
You got to widen your gaze a little bit. I mean, would you rather be a Mississippi State fan or a Texas A&M fan?
True.
It's just that simple.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I know this is annoying, and I know that everybody was just, left the stadium with a bad feeling. State still won.
They won.
You get a chance to leave that game and say, "Oh, this game sucked, but we won." Yeah. So you can kind of build on that. And I'm very interested to see how they rebound. You have a lot of veterans on this team, and it would just be very shocking to me if this team came out and had another bland game. And if I don't think that Kevin Barbet is going to put that on the field next year, next week. I just don't. I refuse to believe that. If you go back and look at some of his stuff too, you know, look at that A&M game last year when they just like played, you know, clock control and all that.
Yeah.
That wasn't pretty.
But they won.
Right.
And look, I think the opponent is the issue there. It's like, if they have to do that to beat Arkansas
or
A&M, it's fine. But being against Arizona, especially when you went up 14-0 and it really should have been 21-0. I mean, that just changes your whole view of the game. So they just got to
commit. I think he just – did they?
Yeah, the Witted kid, the tight end.
Oh, that's a good commit.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. That's
the,
not for our Sunday shows.
But, I mean, I just – it really felt to me like Barbe just said, we're going to be able to just run the ball down their throats and we don't have to throw it at all.
You're right.
And I think that he just got stuck in that, and he wasn't looking at the score or anything like that and just thought, you know, let's roll with it. Yeah. But that's not going to work.
Number nine. I'm not going to change my prediction today, but it's a little shaky. If anything, if I was going to change it, Robbie, I would add a win. I have A&M as a loss. I feel like that's a chance to win now. I have South Carolina as a loss. That feels like a chance to win now. I might be willing to go to 10-2. I don't know, but
that's what's crazy about this whole thing, man.
Every SEC game outside of LSU Alabama is a toss up this year for State. Every one of them.
Yeah.
So
I think that there's definitely some winnable games out there in conference play if State just does their thing. I mean, they can't do what they did Saturday.
Right.
But I'm not shaking in my boots over South Carolina or A&M right now, even after what I saw yesterday with State.
Yeah. All right, last one. Number 10. I changed my mind on something. I was going to go one way, and then I thought about it, and I'm going to go the other. I'm not going to get on anybody about attendance. I'm just not. And I'll tell you why. And this is a Zach Selman issue at this point. This is a Zach Selman and a Zach Arnett issue. The Arnett issue, I talked about it earlier. Football is supposed to be entertaining. Supposed to enjoy it. Who enjoyed last night? I mean, I'm a college football sicko, so I got a kick out of it. But, like, you pay your good money, and if you come and you think your team's going to win and win big, and it's 14-0, and you're like, all right, we're going to win, and all that happens. I get why people are like, I'm going to watch the first couple games before I decide if I'm coming to LSU. I get it. And then on top of that, and here's the Selman part, I mean, the lighting in the stadium is not great. You still don't have the LED lights.
Here you go. You're making excuses just like everybody else.
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you, though. And like I know the audio issues have been going on for like 6 or 7 years, and they can't get them fixed for whatever reason. Again, I'm going to look at it from this viewpoint of these are your entertainment dollars. These are the same dollars you spend to go to the movies or go to a theme park or you want to have fun with your family. Is it fun to come to Mississippi State football games right now? Is it fun? I don't think it's very fun.
So this is the issue I have with you on this.
Okay.
Your opinion changes so drastically, and but when you go in on that opinion, it's as drastic as the shifts that you make.
I'm trying not to be too drastic about it. I'm just saying that
based on one game, you know, 24 hours ago, you were saying, look at all those empty seats. That's ridiculous. And on one game, now you're saying Mississippi State's not entertaining enough, people shouldn't be coming to games. You're going to spark people to say, well, Brian's right. I think I shouldn't come to games.
I'm not saying people shouldn't come to games. If you want to come to the games, if somebody's like, I can dove hunting or one of those things, like, I'm not too plussed on that. It's like, you could go with another day. I get it. But like, if you're a person who's just thinking, you know, we could go, but I just don't know that's going to be a very good time. I get it. If you're a person who's like, I want to see the first couple of games, and if they win and they look all right, I'll come to the LSU game. I get it. I'm going to try not to be so locked in here. Now, look, that being said, you're playing a nationally ranked team You're 2-0. You have a chance to win this football game. I think people should show up for this game on Saturday. They should have a good crowd on Saturday. If there's not a good crowd, then that's maybe a symptom of a larger thing. Because,
well, now you've confused everyone.
Well, only the dummies, and I don't worry about confusing them. So
my whole thing is you're either invested in your football team and you're invested in being successful or you're not.
Right.
And if you're saying to yourself, you know, they ran the ball 39 times and passed it 17, I don't want to see this. That's perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine. It's your money. You do with it what you want to.
Mm-hmm.
The LED lights are not flashing. I don't want to go to that. The video board is not good. They don't have replays. I'm not going to go to that. Do you want your team to win or not? Because to me, the best way to help fix all that is to show up to the games, pack out the stadium, and then, you know, we can complain about that stuff when you're there and get it fixed or whatever.
That's not a bad point. Just not showing up.
To me, just not showing up, that's hurting your football program. That's hurting recruiting. That's hurting the talent on the field when they say, why would I want to stay at Mississippi State when I can go to Georgia and play in front of 80,000 people that are actually excited to be there?
You know, with Mississippi State, and I know this is like the argument people like to make for bringing the stadium down. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that or not, but whatever. But with Mississippi State, I mean, the 10,000, let's say, I don't know, did they announce the attendance last night?
Maybe 51, maybe okay. 50, something like that.
That's probably, I thought it was like 48. But so that's what, 12,000 empty seats, right? Those are casual fans, man. That's all they are. They are people who they like Mississippi State, but they are not, like you said, invested in Mississippi State. The 48,000, you know, I mean, there were what, maybe 1,000 Arizona fans there at best. So 47,000 Mississippi State fans are there. Those are the ones that are invested. They're locked in. They're going to come to the games. It's tough to get the other 10,000 people in there when the product is not entertaining and the experience isn't the best it can be.
Yeah, I mean, it goes hand in hand. I mean, you've got to give people something to want to come to see. But at the same time,
you're casual fans. Your cars are coming no matter what.
What I always say is, you know, Dan Mullen came to Mississippi State, and before he had even coached a game, they had the largest crowd for a home game in Mississippi State history.
What he said was correct. It's you got to support, and that brings wins. It's not wins bring support.
Yeah, I just feel like for so many years now, there's been so many things stated for basketball. Baseball is a totally different animal, and it's creating some dissension in the fan base. Mm-hmm. People are starting to despise baseball now because the fans show up for those games. But it's kind of a different animal.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's always, they need to do this and this to get me to come to games.
Yeah.
And it's that way with football, too. It's everything, all the stars have to align to get a sellout crowd for basketball and football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a problem. Going into overtime last night, half the stadium's left. I mean, I understand being kind of annoyed with what you've seen or whatever, but that's like you're leaving the ball game with your team having a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Like that's a problem. And I don't know if it's fans looking in the mirror, if it's Zach Selman has to do something differently, if it's Zach Arnett. I don't know how to fix it. I really don't.
One thing I've said a few times that I think has hurt Mississippi State is that it's been now 9 seasons since you had the big season. All right. And I always talk about the cycles, right? The cycle and the big year is what keeps people coming back. You have that big year and they get excited again. And they're like, all right, I can't miss a game. State was poised to have that in 2018. They should have had it in 2018. They didn't. Because Mullen leaves, Moorhead comes in, and it's just not the right fit. And it goes from there. And so you've gone now 9 years without having a great team. Ole Miss had one 2 years ago. They won 10 games. They went to the Sugar Bowl. They had their up year in the cycle. The other problem is this. This was supposed to be the up year in the cycle. Veteran team, everybody's coming back, and then Mike Leach passes away, and you have to make all these changes. And that has put that season in doubt. And people are just if State doesn't have a 9-win season this year, if they don't have a great season this year, it's going to be another 3 or 4 years before they can cycle back up again. And you're talking about that point, it's been 12, 13 years since you had a team that was ranked in the top 10 at any point. I mean, that's a long time to go for a program that wants to, you know, pride itself. So it's just tough. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have the attendance debates. You want to have them? I'll have them with you, but I'm not going to be the one bringing them up.
Well, you were ready to do it.
I was.
All week.
I was all week, and we got to the game, and I was ready. And then just watching that game, I was just like, I get it. I get why if you don't want to be here. I get it.
And again, my issue is this. If State's good next week mm-hmm. and there's not a whole lot of people there, you're going to say, well, we got to talk about this crowd situation.
Well, I'm going to say
like, – I'm confused on like where
gonna,
we
I'm
are. Not,
I'm just going to say it's surprising it wasn't a bigger crowd.
But why would it be surprising if you're stating on this show – they're not, it's not surprising at all that there's nobody there. You lean too heavily on if I get new information, I'm going to change my opinion. But this isn't something that
I'm just saying that if next week they don't have a big crowd, I think they should have a big crowd this week. That's my prediction. If I were going to make a sort of, for example, if I were to predict State to lose to LSU 31-17, right? Let's just say that, right? And State wins 48-10. I'm surprised by that because that's what happened. So right now I'm predicting there will be a good crowd. If there isn't one, I'll be surprised by that. But at the same time, I could be surprised by something and understand why it happened.
How? How can you be surprised but also understand?
Well, because it's the same thing I just said. If State wins 48-10, and it's because LSU can't stop Mississippi State's offense and LSU turns the ball over 3 or 4 times. I understand why LSU lost the game. I'm not going to be sitting here like State won and I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just the general scope of it. You would be surprised mm-hmm. that they won the ball game.
But I could tell by watching the ball game, I could explain to you how they won it. I understand how they did it.
Well, we're talking about why fans aren't coming to games. That's a little bit. I don't think that's something that you can just like make a general statement about based on one game.
I think you can
game.
Quantify it in some ways.
Not on one game, though.
Not on one game, but this will be 3 games.
Yeah, but we haven't seen Mississippi
I think you have
State.
A lot of fans who wanted to see the first 2 games, and then they'll say, okay, I'll be at LSU. If State had lost Saturday night, I would tell you that I think there's going to be a terrible crowd for the LSU game.
Yeah, well, I mean that could be the case again here.
Could be.
We could see a ton of yellow in the crowd.
It could be. So, all right.
And to me, that is that's Vanderbilt stuff.
Yeah,
that's if when you have another team's fan base taking over your home stadium, that's embarrassing. So if that happens on Saturday. That's going to be embarrassing. And for the people that sit there and say, why can't we get this respect? Why do people look down on us as a, you know, lower tier SEC team or whatever? Well, it's stuff like that. It's like I said, you're either committed to being good at football, and that includes like showing up for games, giving to the NIL and all that stuff, or you've decided you're not committed to it. Mm-hmm. And that's a decision that you and your family have to come to terms with, and I'm not going to judge you as a person if you decide that you would rather spend time with your family. I'm not in any way going to judge somebody for that. But I will say that it just means that you're not as committed to – that's a fair statement. You're not as committed to your football team as you are spending time with your family.
I agree.
Nothing wrong with that either way, but right. It's a true statement.
No, you're 100% correct. Like I said – the 10,000 empty seats are casual fans.
Yeah. So
if you're a season ticket holder, if you're somebody who bought season tickets and you haven't been to these first 2 games and you're like, I'll probably be at the LSU game, you're a casual fan. And that's fine. Yeah. Just embrace it. I like State. Yeah,
also, why are you buying season tickets and it's not weird. Using?
I'm with you on that, but people are doing.
People do that.
People are doing it. So.
But I hate people got onto us before, but I hate like talking down to fans because we're sitting in the press box. I want people to understand I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to talk down to fans. I'm having a debate with you mm-hmm. over your statements.
You're talking down to me. What you're doing.
Well, you know, sometimes you need that.
Mm.
Your head needs to shrink about two sizes down, like the Grinch's heart. But I guess it's the
you're
opposite
an
of the
angry
Grinch's
one,
heart.
Mr. Falk. You're the worst podcast on earth.
I'm the worst podcast on earth? Does that make you the worst podcast on earth, too?
You've got a creepy pedo mustache.
Hey, you've gone too far now. You've gone too far now.
Well, you're right. So let's talk about something important instead.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by our friends over at Strange Brew Coffee House. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order for shipping. Every time you support Strange Brew Coffee House, you support the Bulldog Initiative. Kevin Barbey is an easy one for me. If I see him at Strange Brew Coffee, somebody knock that coffee right out of his hand. Try not to burn yourself. But Kevin Barbey absolutely cannot have coffee this week. No chance.
Well, don't get that aggressive with him. He's a nice guy.
Oh, now you want me to be more aggressive. Make up your mind. What do you want from me?
Well, I don't want you to be aggressive and start, you know, knocking coffee out of people's hands.
Yeah, knock it out.
Why is Tom Brady wearing a New England Patriots jersey? Oh.
Yeah, I think they're doing like a ceremony. It's his first time back since he retired.
Oh, okay. So. He's completely forgotten his time in Tampa Bay already.
Well, maybe you want to see the title there. In the SEC... you all think I'm going to say Alabama. I'm not. They lost to a good team. It's Texas A&M. We're going to run this one back. We're going to have these issues again. I can't wait. I made a mistake for the season. I gave them the benefit of the doubt. My bad, guys. I screwed that one up.
I should have stuck with my guns on that.
They for sure are a four-loss team and probably a little bit more than that. Who they play in the East? They get lucky. They have Florida, I believe. No, they have Tennessee. So they'll lose to Bama. They'll lose to Tennessee. They'll lose to LSU. They've already lost to Miami. I mean, they can't lose to State or Ole Miss, who've had their number the last 2 years. They're in trouble.
If that Auburn game is at Auburn,
yeah,
that'd be scary.
There you go. So
A&M. Yeah, I'm. Oh my goodness, man! If they lose five games, you got to get rid of.
He's gone. You just at that point, he's gonna be like, I don't care what it costs. He's got to go.
I know you saw my tweet earlier too, like with him comparing him with the other top five teams in recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Texas A&M has a top five talent roster,
mm-hmm.
which means what I say that they have, you know, as talented as a
basically,
roster.
Basically, if you add up their recruiting class numbers. You get a number, right?
Yes.
And their number is top five with, I'm going to assume, Georgia,
they're number four.
Alabama. Four. Okay. So the only two, three teams ahead of them, in my opinion, it got to be Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Clemson's right behind them. All four of those teams have, I think, at least 14 more wins than Jimbo Fisher has in his time frame there. And they've all got at least like, you know, playoff trips or national championships.
Mm-hmm.
And he has none of that.
Oh, and Marcellus Davis, my favorite thing, which is the Sumlin versus Fitcher at this point.
Yes, I love that.
Sumlin is three games ahead of him at this point.
Unbelievable. And if you fired that guy for being completely, you know, mundane,
mm-hmm.
and he's had a better career to this point than Jimbo Fisher has.
Yes.
Or at least at A&M.
So A&M.
And he produced a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. A&M is your no coffee here in the conference. Nationally, I wasn't really sure which way we were going to go until I saw the tweet last night, and it's gone into today, and it has to be Michigan State. Not really a joking matter what's going on there. Another football coach brought down by his own hubris. If you're Michigan State, you're ecstatic, by the way, because this guy clearly wasn't going to, you know, elevate that program, and you foolishly gave him a $90 million ironclad contract, and now you're going to be able to fire him for cause. You know, Texas A&M's going to be sniffing around going, what did he do? What can we get him on?
But, you know, literally all he had to do is just not do anything stupid off the field, and he was going to get paid.
This is the truth about every dumb college football coach. Coaches get fired for wins and losses. Man, that happens. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But when coaches like and Freeze and other for stuff like this, he had Art Briles at Oklahoma might have been the ones, by the way, because they had Art Briles on the dang sidelines yesterday.
Jeff Lebby put that as his profile pic today. Him and Art Briles.
Yeah. Great. I thought you wanted to be head coach. I guess not.
I mean, gosh.
He's not smart.
Have some common sense. State
thing. And the Big Ten, again, with a horrific sex scandal. Like, they can't stop having sex scandals in the Big Ten. This is two for Michigan State. That's two more than most schools will ever have. They've had two in the last 5 years. That's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, no. It's ridiculous, man. They got a culture issue up there in the Big Ten.
Hey, he'll be fired soon enough, and he's not going to get a penny of that money. And then, you know, of course, because he's a coach, within 5 years he'll be back in coaching probably, but awful.
All right. And Mark D'Antonio is back involved.
Yeah. Who just left because there were issues. Oh, jeez.
They just recycled. I mean, they had the same thing ever. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma, you know, they pushed Bob Stoops back out there on the sidelines.
Yeah. So, all right. Tomorrow's show, we'll recap what Arnett and the players have to say on Monday. We'll talk recruiting. MSU just picked up a commitment. We'll do our SEC picks. I'm still two up on Robbie after this weekend. No change in the standings after that. And then we got a great – this is LSU week, so you know what's happening. A lot of great content coming your way heading into Mississippi State's game with the Bayou Bengals. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.